Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, are you there, Tim?
Yeah, I'm here. I can hear you.
Wonderful. Thanks for starting the show.
Yeah.
Okay, it's Universal Hikers Episode 4. Today, I thought I would, the world is really in pretty bad shape, and not many people are paying attention, but there are a few people that are, and I would like to cover one of these people here, namely Tom Brown Jr. He's not affiliated with the new presentation, but he is a naturalist, and he sees, and he's got the courage to actually talk about what's going on. Now, it's interesting because he's not talking about reptilians or chemtrails or any of that, but he sees it from the nature point of view. I mean, he actually sees it without that other input, which is major, but he just sees nature in the planet pretty much disappearing here, with the life forms on it. So who else is saying that? Is it Greenpeace saying that, or Jacques Cousteau? And, they're not really focused on it like he is now. And Tim, anytime you want to interrupt, because I've got a lot to say today, so I'll keep it to like 45 minutes, and then we can go on, because I know you have something at 7. But feel free to interrupt or comment anytime.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, I'll just go give you an introduction to Tom Brown Jr. My son and I went to Pine Barrens, New Jersey, I guess it was in the 90s maybe, to take a standard class with him. It's a week-long class in making a fire with a bow drill and making a debris hut, different things, survival skills, primitive skills. And then I've been following him now and then, and I just noticed that he's now, within the last few years, he's been really talking about this, talking this up about the planet. And there's a prediction that grandfather made, which was Tom Brown's teacher. And I wanted to talk about that today. But first of all, Tom Brown is America's most acclaimed outdoorsman and a renowned tracker, teacher, and author. When Tom was only 7, Stalking Wolf, or grandfather, an Apache elder, shaman, and scout, began coyote teaching Tom in the skills of tracking, wilderness, survival, and awareness. After Stalking Wolf's final walk, Tom spent the next 10 years wandering the wilderness throughout America with no manufactured tools, in most cases not even a knife, perfecting these grandfather's skills and teachings. Tom came back to civilization. He began looking for people interested in all that he had learned, but found none. He felt lost and confused, until a local sheriff who knew Tom called him in to track a lost person. Tom found the missing person, and in the process, found his vision. Over the next few years, Tom earned his reputation as the tracker by finding lost people and fugitives from the law. He has since worked with many law enforcement agencies throughout the United States and internationally on cases involving abducted children, lost hunters and hikers, and fugitives. He wrote about his experiences in a book titled The Tracker, which was published in 1978. Soon after, Reader's Digest ran a condensed version of Tom's story and included information on the Tracker School. That was almost 30 years ago, and today Tom Brown Jr.'s Tracker School is the largest of its kind, teaching people from all over the world and from all walks of life. Since the success of the Tracker, Tom has authored 16 books on tracking, awareness, nature observation, and survival, including Grandfather, The Vision, The Way of the Scout, and a series of field guides, which have sold well over a million copies. So Tom's our age. He's born in 1950. It's January 31st, 1950. Now, grandfather, this is a little bit about grandfather. Stalking Wolf, or grandfather, was raised free of the reservations in the mountains of northern Mexico. Born in the 1870s, during a time of great warfare and violence, he was part of a band of Lutheran Apache that never surrendered. He was taught the traditional ways of his people and became a shaman and a scout. When he was 20, a vision sent him away from his people, and for the next 63 years, he wandered seeking teachers and learning the old ways of many native peoples and others who lived close to the earth. Stalking Wolf traveled the length and breadth of the Americas, following the Creator's call. He never held a job, drove a car, paid taxes, or participated in modern society. When he was 83 years old, he encountered a small boy gathering fossils in a stream bed. He recognized that boy as the person with whom he would spend his final years and to whom he would teach all that he knew. That boy was Tom Brown Jr. Tom became the recipient of not only all of the Stalking Wolf had learned during his travels, but the distillation of hundreds of years of Apache culture as well. These are the teachings that Tom passes on at his famous Tracking Nature and Wilderness Survival School. Now, grandfather told Tom that and grandfather was 83 when he met Tom, and Tom was 7 at the time, 7 years old. Grandfather told Tom that when Tom was his age, which was 83, it would be the days of the red sky. That sounds kind of ominous, but that's what this is about here, this prediction. It would be the time of the red sky. Now, I don't really see anywhere, I didn't really get what that meant, but you can just imagine the way things are going, and you can see the sunsets and all the petroleum in the skies and the chemicals in the sky, and the sunsets are red right now a lot of times, but it's not getting any better. And then grandfather said 10 years leading up to this, which would be, well, the year would be 2022 or 2023. That would be the year with the red sky. And 10 years before that, which is we're coming up to 2012, 2013, would be, basically chaos. And I'm just presenting this just for another viewpoint. There's many viewpoints, and predictions are whatever. You know, predictions, prophecy, it's really the will and the free choice of people, but you can see the basic direction we're heading with the planet, and it doesn't take a prophet or a psychic to see that things are not getting better. They're getting a lot worse. So in some way, grandfather saw this, and he predicted that this year, 2022-23, for it to really go bad. He said what he was really worried about was how many people there would be left to even see this event, you know. So I'm going to go over this a little bit, some of the more details here. This Tom is mentioned. And again, this is Tom's perspective. In the new presentation, we have basically a completely different view of things. Some of this that Tom and grandfather mentioned, they mentioned things like living in the now, and they mentioned the importance of awareness. they have their take on it, and we have our understanding of it. So take from it what you will. But, again, this is another viewpoint, and I thought it would be interesting to spend the show on it, because it is someone who sees actually what's going on, and he actually said 4 or 5 years ago, when he started really teaching this in his tracker classes, that he didn't want to be the guy standing out in the street corner with a sign saying, you know, the world is ending or the world is coming to an end. You know, he was somewhat hesitant about actually talking about this, because he thought he'd be thought of as weird, but he's actually telling it like it is from his viewpoint, and he's got the courage to do so. And so I'll go through some of this, how he sees it. Well, let's see. I'm looking for a place here. Well, I think I'll just start from the beginning here, because my notes are a little bit mixed up. So I'm just going to go kind of here and there with kind of skip around. Let me get them together here. Okay. Well, he's also looking at obtaining property in Central America and creating a training village. We talk about David Icke and his information, and David Wilcox, and how they're presenting information about what's going on from their knowledge and experiences with the reptilians and such. They usually don't really have a cure. Tom here, his cure, if you want to say he has a cure, is to, well, be prepared, develop your skills of scouting, psychology, deception, you know, living off the land, survival skills, things like that. I mean, just enhance those skills. I mean, that's all he sees. What can you do? He has a certain very practical and pragmatic portion of himself, and then he goes into the spiritual, what he calls the spiritual self. And Grandfather went into that too. The new presentation, we're not spiritual, but we just see it as it is, and we call it like it is, and we share what we see. We don't call ourselves spiritual. He uses the term spiritual, and he talks about and he does have experiences with out of the body, you know, setting traps for animals and being able to know if they've been set off. And, you know, like the Apaches, being able to disappear when the soldiers come after them. They're very good at being the shadow warriors and disappearing. So the soldiers never found them, actually, some of these Apache tribes. And I believe, I sense that Tom has a skill too. Because one time he was training an elite forces like the Delta Force, one of these elite military forces. There's about 15 of them. They came to the Pine Barrens. They kind of had a hardy, like an arrogant attitude. And they weren't really paying attention to his lecture. So he thought he'd have some fun with them and called them out and said, okay, you're not paying attention to prove, you know, what I'm talking about, you know, makes sense or is real. I challenge you to this. You know, give me 5 minutes. I'm going to go outside. I don't know if it was nighttime or daytime, but he drew like a triangle. There's this like forest area with a kind of a triangle, natural triangle. I'm going to be out there. You come out and find me. Give me 5 minutes. You 15 soldiers, you know, elite forces that are so cool. Go, come out and find me. But if you feel a tap on your shoulder, or you feel a stick that's been thrown at you or something, you have to come in back into the classroom. So of course, one by one, he just tapped him on the shoulder. He came out of nowhere, and pretty soon they're all in the classroom again. So he does have certain skills, and we know the real guides too they have tremendous skills and abilities that they don't even use, you know, because, you know, they have a certain focus that certain people like Tom and Grandfather and certain psychics and gurus and masters, you know, they develop certain skills. They can levitate or disappear. So Tom, living in nature here, has apparently developed some of these skills, particularly the scouts, you know, living in relating to nature. Okay, so, and he's also starting up healing centers because he sees people, when the collapse comes, he talks about the collapse, people are going to be, upset. You know, they won't know what to do with themselves. Communication will be down, probably. The services will be down. Food, be scarce, water, pure water. You know, it's the end time scenario. And he's not talking about being the prepper as much as being, doing something of a service more or less for people too, not only for yourself, but your friends and family. And, this is where he's coming from more. Okay. So we go into, infrastructure will be collapsed. Let's see. He talks about the normal viruses, bacteria, pathogens. I mean, these strains will be harder to get rid of, because as we know, the mad scientists are feverishly working on developing more lethal strains of these pathogens for depopulation purposes. Tom doesn't mention this. I don't know if he knows about this or believes in it, but he is aware of it, that these things are being happening. Talks about, for instance, malaria. Malaria these days is a lot harder to get rid of, and the immunizations don't work as much, and more people are dying from malaria. There's a new Lyme disease that people are dying from, that you get from ticks. 10% of this particular strain, people die from this Lyme disease. There are the big cats in India and Africa. They've contracted this virus that it prevents them from being afraid of people. I mean, usually they're wary. You know, they're cautious, but they're wary they're no longer wary of people, and they actually attack people more readily. There's one incident where one of them went to a doggy door and just ripped up everybody in the house, and the scientists don't know what's going on with this. These are examples of some of the things that are going on in nature that he noticed. Says we're drowning in our own chemical waste, and all we're doing is band-aid solutions, and people are turning a blind eye. Basically, they're not seeing it. And we keep saying this too in the new presentation, that people just aren't paying attention. And he calls it, he he talks about the little mice. You have to listen to the mice whispering. The whisper of the mice. Her grandfather talked about this. The whisper of the mouse. You have to pay close attention. Because people see, like, okay, another species have been gone extinct, or something like a tornado hits. They see the big events, you know, here, there, you know, scattered around. But you have to be like the mouse, or listen to the mouse, to see the whole picture. I mean, he sees the whole picture of how nature is being compromised. It really is. It's being totally out of whack. Everything is out of whack. The weather, as we know it, HARP and the chemtrails and the geoengineering of weather, that's what's going on with that. And that, of course, affects everything else, the plants and the animals. So, two things he sees: the viruses and bacteria and pathogens. They're going to be harder to eradicate. Plus, the afflictions. He calls it the afflictions, and these are more born from the chemicals that we're adding to the water, to the soil, to the food that we grow. That's going to be another group of diseases that are born from these chemicals and the stuff they're seeing sprayed in the air. Most important physical and spiritual skills, he says, is awareness. And we'll talk about that too. Awareness supersedes everything. So the most important thing you can do for yourself is become more aware. And again, here in the new presentation, we have the cure for that. And it basically starts with singing the new you and paying attention to what life shows you. It's very simple. One must decide to do it, otherwise it won't happen. And just think about it, you actually have to take the step. Some of these afflictions don't even show up with the animals or plants or water until it's too late. In the tracker school, he teaches people how to be intuitive with what plants to eat, or like mushrooms, you can grow the mushrooms. So, you know, basically kind of have a feeling for and have the plant tell you, or intuitively sense what's edible and what's poisonous. This will no longer be the case with all this distortion with the planet and its ecological system. It'll be harder to intuitively note what is good for you or not. But actually, now that I talk about this, everything is good or not, because, I mean, basically, everything is polluted, you know, from the air, from the chemtrails. We got the chemtrail dust on most everything once it's grown in the greenhouse. So that the idea is there that everything would be, it would be harder to decipher what is good for you and what is not. Normal disease will become resistant. We're seeing that with certain things, even the measles outbreaks lately. When we were kids in the 60s, 50s, we'd just go through the measles and be fine. We'd stay home from school, watch TV, play games, look fine. After that, we were pretty much immune to it as adults. But now, even if you get the measles, the strains that they've developed that they put in these vaccinations that actually cause measles, and it's more deadly, and that's why people are dying, because of what they put, the junk they put in these vaccines that cause this virus and cause people to get really sick from them. It's purposely done. Again, it's a depopulation scenario. Okay. Well, you see, the animals are migrating too. They're migrating in abnormal ways because the weather patterns are so abnormal. He sees the moose and the elk. Normally, they're dying of cold, a lot of them. Normally, the winters that are cold, it kills off the ticks. In some places like Alaska, you know, we've had there's been a lot of warm weather up there. The ticks don't die. So the moose and the elk get the ticks, and they start scratching and biting, and they scratch all their fur off and even some of their skin. By the time winter comes, you know, they freeze to death because they don't have the protection anymore. There's a massive flu epidemic. The immunologists are expecting, and they're expecting this because they're the ones causing it. You know, I'm sure it's not no accident. So, look for a flu epidemic. The vaccines won't be able to handle. Some places they'll even be mandatory though, like they have been in New York for certain areas. So watch that. He talks about usually Africa has been a place where some of these pathogens have been come out of. But now he talks about Central and South America. There's been an emergence of new pathogens from those areas. And again, this is not by accident. But he talks about also going there because people will not be there. People will stay away from places like that. So in terms of if you get a hide or find a safe place, that's where he's heading. And then through his spiritual skills, he'll be able to handle it. Talks about the children of the earth must escape to the wild places. And we talk about that too, that children, you know, more nature that they're exposed to, the better off they'll be. The more understanding and that they'll have an awareness about life and how it really is. You know, if you start with nature, which supports you. Now, you also talks about his spiritual practice. Our practice is singing the new you, and this could be before bed. It's a good time when you wake up or during the day. And this is your connection to the true reality. And you'll see it working sooner or later. It's not sooner than later, but something that you can't necessarily expect it to happen right away. You see something. So give it some time, give it weeks, you know, even give it longer. For some it happens right away, for some it happens gradually, because it's a recognition, so you may not recognize it right away because it's so subtle. Some people have real sight experiences or dreams where they're shown directly. So it's just up to the individual and how he can accept this connection that's been opened up through him, through his own decision, and then the real guides will be there to assist him. So that's our practice, one of the things we do. Tom, he calls it her grandfather, they both, at sunrise and sunset, they would just stop everything and just basically sit and enjoy that space. Just, that's their sacred time, they call it. Now I'll get into a little bit of how they practice their sacred or their spiritual practices. If I find my notes here. Tim, do you have anything to comment while I'm looking for this?
Yeah. When we were Indians, things were different than now. And the reptilians seem to have big plans, and their plans are coming to fruition. We can see the changes in the last couple hundred years now that they have the ability to affect all human life on this planet with their microwaves and their chemtrails and their propaganda. And we've had our time in this psych realm to enjoy our trees and our animals and the fruits and all these things. But it looks like the intent of the reptilians, after they have annihilated a big bunch of the humans on the earth, and they have left whatever they figure is enough for them to use as slaves, to continue to use as slaves and for food, that the psych realms are only a place of human farming, a prison planet for them. When we were Indians, it was a lot different. They hadn't affected us very much in places until now, with the modern technology of TV and cell phones and radio and all these things. They've been able to put their propaganda and convince people that things that are not good for us, or they have convinced us that they're good for us. And they've dumbed us down with the things we eat and with the vaccinations and drugs and all these things taking place. And there is no escape now. They can target anybody they want. Once, like the man you're talking about that was able to be a phantom practically from trained professionals to track him and couldn't find him. But now all they have to do is have his vibratory rate, and they can find him no matter, I guess, about wherever anybody is, they can find you. And they're recording everything with this modern technology, everything we say and a lot of what we do. It is very interesting, these experiences we've been going through. It's like we're just about all in a cage now on planet Earth. And we're afraid to fly even when we have the chance. The new presentation being presented to the technology spread all over this earth, and the individuals that are paying attention and helping to spread the information to become, for those who want to become more aware about what life's all about, why we're in this creation stuff, and to find out about other things that we don't know about that exist, like real universes and universal guides and things that are very important. So a person doesn't have to come back here into these psych realms to a worse planet where when you're robotized, trees don't matter to you. What does a robot care about a tree or a flower or anything? And that's about what the reptilians seem like their plan is, to turn the humans that are left on the earth into robotized slaves that they can keep on making them live with their technology. The body won't die. So it's an opportunity to not have to come back into these psych realms as a slave for the reptilians and find out about real universes where a person's free, there where there are no authorities, no restrictions, where there's a thing called real love. Did you find your notes, Val?
I certainly did. Yes, that was good. You're talking about the Indians, and part of the reason they had this sacred time in the evening and morning was to listen to warnings. That's part of it. Through our modern day, with all the traffic and noises and the sirens and everything, the clamoring, we miss the warning. And that's why people are so dumbed down, because they're not listening anymore. We're the Native Americans. When danger was around, they could hear it because they were listening. They were just paying attention. But who's paying attention these days? You know, we just don't see it. So the Indians had this thing called baseline, you know, where everything is, you blend it in. You blend in with nature. You actually enhance it as you go through nature, and you don't disturb it. It's the best way of, being with nature. And that's what they did. They didn't destroy their water, food, and air. And this is something that he emphasizes. And then two more things I'll finish with. This one thing is, during this time, he talks about surrender. And that's not surrendering like I give up surrender, but just give up time. And there's no destination, no past, no future, no expectations. You lose yourself. You cease to exist. And then you just see what kind of impressions and feelings and images come from that. And then the next thing is even more important is silence. He places a lot of value on silence, as there's no qualifiers. Again, there's no past or future. It's just you're in the now, his interpretation of the now. And nature, you know, it has a tremendous amount to teach us, even without the awareness that we're talking about. Nature, there's so much more to physicality. And, you know, anything, you know, to enhance your survival here. So he does get into that. When the young Indian was asked to go into an excursion or to do something, he was told to forget about the past. So that's like meaning, like, wherever you go, whatever you're doing, you know, you're in the now. Don't think about the past. Don't think about the future. Be present with what's going on. So these little tricks, these little ideas just to help people. And you watch. When you're in the silence, you just watch it unfold. That's how he explains it. So, again, this is just going to cover this. It has to do with Native Americans. It has to do with how one person, Tom Brown Jr., sees nature and what's going on with the planet. And he's seeing, actually, as he lives and works with nature, He teaches primitive skills, survival skills. He's a tracker, so he pays very much, you know, close attention to what's around him. He can actually, he claims he can actually, through a track, know more about the animal than if he saw the animal in person live. Because the track tells him, I think it was over 3,000 signs that the Apache could identify from the track. Whether he was injured, whether he was left-handed, right-handed, if it's a man, if he was looking around to the right side of his shoulder, if he was hungry, if he had to go to the bathroom. I mean, just about anything, emotional state that you're in, it's all on the track. So one has to pay close attention in very much detail to what the sign is telling them. It's not only track, but, you know, signing, you know, what's around the tree limbs broken and bushes disturbed, animals, you know, birds are a good sign, you know, they call it concentric rings. Someone passes through the area and he disturbs nature, and they're called these concentric rings, where consecutively, you know, the bird will do something and the animal next to him will do something and so on, and the whole area is disturbed in some way. So you can read that. You can read through the animals and the insects and what's going on. Maybe someone's coming or anything, you know, weather, basically how to read nature and what's going on around you. So we acknowledge people like this, and when we get our school started, the Nations United Universal University, we will be having people on like this that will be teaching about things that make sense, that are a benefit to the planet. That's why I bring Tom into this, because people like Tom and Powell, who we interviewed with the primary water, you know, people that are really seeing what's going on, they'll be part of the curriculum, you could say, to, like, introduce people to what's going on, and then they can make a better decision in terms of what they do with their life that has a better purpose, whether it's, you know, true career, and their careers will be focused on environment, helping the environment in some way. No longer will be to support the corporations, that it'll be to fix the planet, help fix the planet. So that's where we're going with the school. And again, I wanted to introduce Tom Brown and Grandfather here. Grandfather did, I remember in one of, this is one of the discourses in Edincar, Grandfather was mentioned that he saw a white mountain lion up above on the cliff, and the discourses mentioned that was one of the real guides that came to Grandfather at that time. It was just a short little sentence, but I just remember that. So the real guides are everywhere. They're assisting everybody. You know, they do care about people and waking up. Because, you know, each person that wakes up makes a big, big difference, huge difference. Okay, Tim, do you have anything else to finish up?
Yeah. About the all-natural environment in these psych realms. There seems to be an awful lot more to the all-natural environment than just the physical realms. Because in these physical realms, man has the ability with his atomic stuff to even affect the his own solar system, actually. And who knows what the powers are of the aliens, how big of powers they could have if they could blow up the sun if they wanted or anything like that. This natural environment that in the physical that keeps us alive. We need the sun and we need the water and we need the air and we need food. So it's kind of simple to see what the needs in the physical to survive. But just like in being an Indian, in the tracking and stuff, there's more to it than just what you see with your physical eyes and smell and hear and taste and touch. We have intuition too going on. Some beings are able to access that and get guidance from it too. But what I'm aware of is that all this psych realm stuff is illusionary, and that we're here for a reason, to see what isn't real, to have a comparison to what is real in the real universes. So the opportunity and the effort is being made to reach anybody that is, the real guides have put in this tech stuff to even hear what we're saying. It's something to find out for yourself, this new presentation, to check out the wonderful worldwide educators and find out for yourself by testing the new you song sessions and see if the real guides give you real guidance and a real education so that you can get out of this psych realm stuff and not have to return here to worse conditions than it's ever been. Deformed bodies from the pollutants that are being created and dumped on mankind. The aliens are very, I guess you'd call it, intelligent, and they have the psych sciences that they can do things. They can create holograms and pretend they're Jesus in the sky all of a sudden, and the masses of people would say, oh, there he is, he's real, and on, but all it could be is a hologram that they can create. So that's what we're trying to do, is share a gift to not have to return into hell on earth in more lifetimes of suffering and being controlled by others and having to go through all kinds of drama and pain. Anyway, I guess that's about all I wanted to say.
Good summary, Tim. Thank you. Thank you for the overview. Okay, so that's Universal Hikers episode 4, and we'll see you next week with another show. And thanks, Tim, for being on, co-hosting, and I'll see you next week. Good night.
Yeah, we'll see you.
Bye.